Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that I read a little earlier, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and I'm going to be looking particularly at the prophecy of Zechariah, which goes from verse 68 to verse 79. I'm going to be picking out verses from this psalm of praise that Zechariah offered to God at the birth of his son. During this series over the Christmas period, we've been looking at events surrounding the birth of our Lord Jesus. We've been looking particularly at the people and how their lives were affected by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen Mary, this girl who was given this promise that the Son of God was to be born. And then we've looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth and how they were given these wonderful promises and how John the Baptist came into the world, the forerunner, the one who was to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. And as we've seen this series, we've looked at these various events, we've looked at these various people, we've seen this theme of joy. Whenever the angel visits and brings a message, there is joy. And as we continue this series, we will see at the birth of the Lord Jesus, there is joy. The angels come and they speak to the shepherds in the fields, and there is joy there. And all the people rejoiced because God has been good to his people. God has been kind and gracious to his people. So this morning we're looking at this theme of joy to those who are in the dark. We look particularly, or we drew our theme from verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Bible speaks about people who are in darkness. It's actually a reference to a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, because usually at Christmas time we read from Isaiah and we read these words, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." And in a sense, this psalm that Zechariah sings is fulfillment of that prophecy. So the Bible speaks about people in darkness. What does that mean? What do we mean when we say people in darkness? Well, it means people who are lost. It means people who are searching. It means people who know that there is something not right and want to know what is right for them. People who are lost. That is what usually we mean when we speak about people in darkness. And God in this passage speaks to people who are lost. And when the Bible uses the word lost, it means people who are lost in sin. People who are lost because they're separated from God. People who are lost because they're alienated from God. You know, we were created for one purpose. We were created to be in fellowship, in communion, in a relationship with God. That is how man was created. When God created man, God had a purpose for man. And God, in a sense, was saying to man, your purpose is that we should walk in communion, that we should have fellowship, that I will be your father and you will be my children. This is how it was at creation. Adam and Eve knew fellowship with God. They were in communion with God. They knew God and they had joy in their hearts because they knew God. But then Adam and Eve fell into sin. And when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were alienated from God. There is that sentence, isn't there? Or there's that picture in the book of Genesis chapter 3 where it says they were driven out from the presence of God because they had fallen into sin. And sin has now separated God from man. Sin has brought a barrier between God and man. And man is now lost. Man is alienated from God. That is what the Bible means when it says we are in darkness. It means we are separated from God. And as long as we remain separated from God, we will always be discontent. We will always be searching. We will always be looking for meaning in life and joy in life. We will never have real joy and real peace and real contentment until we come into fellowship with God. So when the Bible speaks about those who are in darkness, it speaks about those who are lost in sin. And the Bible has good news for those who are in darkness. This is why there is joy for those who are in darkness, because the Bible has good news. Those who are lost in sin, those who are alienated from God, God has good news for them. And as we look at this psalm of praise that Zechariah sings to God, we see here good news for those who are lost, good news for those who are in darkness. I'm going to lift out three phrases that Zechariah uses, and I'm going to expound those to show this good news. And the first good news is this, that Christ has visited his people. Christ has visited his people. This is how Zechariah begins his psalm of praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited his people. I will look at redeemed in a moment. But here you have this first great truth. Man has alienated himself from God. Man has fallen into sin. Man has turned his back on God. Man has willingly gone away from God into darkness. Man has said to God, in effect, I don't need you. I don't want you. I want to find purpose in life and meaning in life on my own. I don't like being with you. And so man has turned away from God, seeking fellowship, seeking peace, seeking contentment, seeking joy, and has found nothing. And God in grace, God in mercy, God in kindness, hasn't just left man in darkness. He could have done that. God could have said to the human race, you chose to go into sin. You chose to turn your back on me. You chose to go into the darkness. Well, you will now enjoy the fruits of your choice. You go into darkness and you remain in darkness and you will remain lost and you will remain forever lost and alienated from me. God could have done that, and that would have been justice. Because it was man that chose to go into this sinful way. But God is gracious. And God comes seeking the one who has alienated himself from God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God doesn't just say, well, man has chosen to go his own way. Let him go his own way and let him enjoy the fruit of his rebellion. But you see, God is compassionate and God is merciful. So God comes seeking. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he used various language to speak about his mission. And he would use parables to speak about his mission. And there's a lovely parable of the lost sheep. And he says, there's this shepherd with 100 sheep, and one of the sheep goes astray. And he doesn't say, well, that sheep is gone. I've still got 99. I can manage with 99. He leaves the 99 and he goes after the lost sheep. It is the sheep that has gone away from him, but he goes after the lost sheep. And it's a lovely picture. When he finds the lost sheep, he picks up that sheep and puts it on his shoulders and he comes home. And when he gets home, he calls his neighbors and he says, rejoice with me because I'd lost my sheep, but I've found my sheep. Because this displays the heart of God. It is a seeking heart. God will not allow man to remain in darkness, because God's heart is filled with love and filled with mercy. And when you have a heart filled with love, you can't just watch people suffering in the darkness and leave them to it. You've got to take action. and God in Christ has visited his people. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why is it a time of joy? Why do we give presents to each other? Why do we rejoice at the time of Christmas? Why is it a happy time? Because God has looked upon us with kindness and mercy, and God has sent his Son into the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, left his home in heaven and came to this earth seeking those who are lost, that he might bring blessing to them. In effect, Jesus came saying, you are lost in your sin, and your lives are terrible lives. Your lives are miserable lives. There is no joy. There is no contentment. There is no peace. But I come to bring peace. I come to bring joy, and I come to bring contentment. I have come to bless you. You know, there are various times in the Bible when we read about the visitation of God. And they're wonderful times. I often refer to the people of Israel when they were in Egypt. And there they were in their slavery, living terrible lives, because they were slaves, abused slaves, beaten and tortured and under a sentence of death. And God visits his people. And God speaks to Moses, and God says, I have indeed seen the suffering of my people, and I have come to redeem them. And throughout the Bible we have these periods when God visits, primarily and most importantly, when the Lord Jesus comes. And do you know, even subsequently, there are times when there are visitations of God. We read about the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. That's a visitation of God to his people. We read about times in the book of Acts when again the Holy Spirit would come. In Acts chapter 4, the church meets for prayer and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And the building where they're gathered is shaken because the Spirit has come and filled his people. These wonderful times of visitation that bring joy and gladness and peace and contentment. Because Christ came to deal with our sin. And Christ came to bring us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. So the first great news, the first good news we have for those who are in darkness is that Christ has visited his people. But there's a second thing here, and it is still in verses 68 and 69, and it is this: not only has Christ visited his people, but Christ has redeemed his people. Do you notice what Zechariah says in that prophecy? He says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Imagine you know somebody who is in prison for life. They've done some terrible crime and they've gone to prison for life. And imagine you visit them in prison. Well, I'm sure that's a great blessing to them, because I'm sure life in prison isn't great fun. And you've made the effort to travel there by train or whatever, and you've done all the application forms and gone through all the security checks, which I'm told takes days to do, so that finally you have a permission to go into prison and to sit with this person and to talk with them and perhaps read the scriptures with them and so on. Well, I'm sure that does them a lot of good. But at the end of that time, your visit comes to an end, they are still in prison. Your visit may have brought temporary relief, but it hasn't actually done anything for their status. They're still in prison, and that life in prison still goes on. But do you see what Zechariah is saying here? Do you see what the Bible is saying here? It's saying God has visited his people, but God has done more than visit his people. He has redeemed his people. And I'm sure that the whole Exodus incident is what is being referred to here, because it is such a perfect illustration of what Zechariah is saying here. There were the people of Israel in Egypt. There they were in misery. because the Egyptians had enslaved them. And the Egyptians had set taskmasters over them. And the Egyptians had put them under a sentence of hard labor. And these taskmasters were ruthless, merciless. You never read anywhere in Exodus of the Egyptians showing mercy, showing kindness, showing compassion to the Israelites. It was all hard work, slave drivers who demanded from the people of Israel and would give no way to them, would cut no corners. You must do this work. And there they were, these taskmasters. Their lives were miserable. And then one day God comes to visit them. Moses is in the wilderness and he sees this burning bush that is not being consumed. Moses goes over and God says, I have seen the condition of my people and I have come to rescue them. Now, just having a visit is wonderful. I'm sure Moses thought, isn't it good that God has seen our condition? Isn't it good that God has actually come and spoken to us and said, I've seen your condition? But you see, that is not all that God does. There is in the Exodus story that whole incident of how God actually removes his people out of Egypt so that they're no longer slaves. He removes them out of this misery. He removes them out of this suffering, out of this torture, out of this persecution. He removes them. And he takes them across the Red Sea into the wilderness. And he guides them. He's with them all the time. Throughout their journey in the wilderness, he is with them. He provides for them. He protects them. He watches over them. And he takes them to the promised land. That is what we're being told here in just a few words. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Because the condition of the Israelites is the condition of all human beings on earth. They were slaves of the Egyptians. We were slaves of sin. They lived terrible lives because of their slavery. And life on earth without Christ is a terrible life. People might say, well, I have a good life, but actually they don't. We know they don't. You've only got to look at the lives of people around us, the loneliness, the mental illness, the misery that there is, the broken marriages, all the difficulties that there are in life. Not saying it's anybody's fault, but I am saying there are terrible things that go on this earth because sin has brought this. And God in Christ says that I have visited my people and I have redeemed my people. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus died on that cross. And as he died on that cross, he shed his blood. And the Bible tells us that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood is redemption, release from slavery to sin. Those who are not saved, those who are not Christians, those who are not born again, they're slaves of sin. But when they come to believe in Christ, to trust in Christ, to receive Christ as their Savior, they're brought out of that slavery. No longer slaves of sin, no longer in the kingdom of darkness, no longer in this place where life is only frustrating and life is without meaning and without purpose, no joy, no peace. And God brings us out of that kingdom of darkness and God brings us into his kingdom, transfers us into his kingdom. So we are now his beloved people and we become the children of God and the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in us. And we now enjoy the fruits of our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins because Christ died on the cross that we might be forgiven. And Christ died that we might be redeemed, brought out of this slavery. And Christ died that we might be cleansed from the filth of sin. And Christ died that we might have a real hope of heaven. This is joy for those who are in darkness. Christ and his death on the cross of Calvary. And Christ and all the great works that he did on that cross for our salvation. Have you come to know him? Do you know this? As I speak about Christ, the Savior, do you say to yourself, I know what you mean, because that is my experience. When I speak of forgiveness of sin, do you say to yourself, yes, praise God, my sins have been forgiven. I was at one time a great sinner, and I knew the guilt of my sin, and my conscience used to trouble me. But praise God, my sin has been forgiven. Are you able to say that? When I speak about being stuck in slavery to sin, are you able to say, yes, I can look back and I can see a time when I was in darkness and I was in slavery to Satan and sin. Praise God, I have known release. I have known redemption. I have known that experience where I've come out of that slavery and have been brought into the kingdom of God. And I've known those times when the love of God has been shed into my heart. And I've known those times when I know God is my Father, and he loves me, and the Holy Spirit of God comes to visit me, and he assures me of the love of my Father, and he assures me of my Lord Jesus and how much he loves me. Are you able to say that? Or do you say, I don't know what he's talking about? Well, I say to you, the message of this prophecy of Zechariah is that all who are in darkness can know the light of Christ. All who are in darkness can come out of that darkness into the light of Christ. And today, if you were to call out to him and you were to say to him, will you, Lord, bring me out of this darkness, out of this slavery to sin? Will you, Lord, bring me out of this life which is only frustration and meaningless and purposeless, and bring me into your kingdom that I may know the joy of the Lord? He will. Because it's a gracious salvation. Meaning it's freely given. You don't earn it. It is freely given. So this prophecy speaks about joy for those who are in darkness, because Christ has visited his people and Christ has redeemed his people. And then thirdly and finally, this prophecy tells us that Christ enables us to serve him. You notice what he says in verses 74 and 75, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Do you know what is the greatest joy of being a Christian? It is to know the Lord Jesus, it is to know his love, and it is to serve him. Christian service, you know, is not a burden. Christian service, you know, isn't, well, I guess I'll have to do that. I wish I didn't have to do it. I don't enjoy it, but I'll have to do it. Christian service isn't that. Christian service is a joy. Christian service is delightful because we're serving the one whom we love. Now, when you love somebody, and you do something for them because you love them, it isn't a labor, is it? You're not forcing yourself. You're not saying, I really hate doing this. I really don't want to do it. I suppose I'll have to do it. And so you do it. That's not service out of love, is it? That's sort of compulsion. But you see what he says here. He says, having been delivered from the hand of our enemies, going back to redemption, having been delivered from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. How come holiness and righteousness? Because Christ's holiness and Christ's righteousness is imputed to us, given to us, put to our account. We are justified because Christ's obedience is given to us, and our sin has been removed. So we are legally righteous before God. We are legally justified. We are legally accepted by God that we might serve him. One of the greatest, greatest blessings of the Christian life is when the Holy Spirit comes to visit us and when he gives gifts. And all God's children have gifts. And all God's children are under a command to use their gifts. There is something very wrong, with a Christian who claims to be a born-again Christian and does nothing in the life of the local church, nothing in the kingdom of God. There is something very, very wrong there. because service is a joy. We are gifted for service. We're called to serve. We're given opportunities to serve. And it is a joyful thing to serve the Lord who has blessed us with salvation. Do you notice how Zechariah puts it? He says, we might serve him without fear. Because this is not the kind of service where we say, well, if I serve him, then he will love me. If I serve him, then he will accept me. If I serve him, then he will bless me. It's not that sort of thing. This is a joyful relationship. This is the person saying, I love my Father. And I know that my Father loves me. And it's a gracious love. So I serve him wholeheartedly. I'm not fearful. And I'm not always looking and frightened of what he might think of me and so on. This is without fear. This is without any restrictions. Wholehearted, abundant service to our God because he has given of himself to us wholeheartedly and abundantly. It's a love relationship that is characterized by service. So this is good news for those who are in the dark. Christ has visited his people. God has come to this world. And Christ has brought us out of slavery and has forgiven us and brought us into God's kingdom. And Christ gives us gifts and says to us, now you serve joyfully because I have saved you. Praise God for his mercy to those who are in dark.